I want to invite you to take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning as we look here at the Word of God. Let me first of all say this morning to you. I am by no means am I an expert in eschatology this morning. I do not claim that by no means. I'm not an expert on end times or anything like that. Don't claim to be. I really don't. But here this morning, as you'll see in just a moment, Paul has been writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he has really been praising them for the things that they have done and encourage them, on the other hand, to continue on in what they're doing. But for all of a sudden here, though, Paul just changes his position, I guess you could say, or his thought pattern, and really begins to talk about something that it doesn't seem foreign to the text, but it's maybe just not on the same thought process as everything else was. Here in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians at verse 1, if you're there, say amen with me. Paul writes these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, or seasons, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like birth pains upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not disdained us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. Father God, I pray this morning now in the next few moments that we have together here in this service today, I pray that through your word, Lord, we would have a deeper understanding now of God, your Son's return. Today, God, no matter what man may say, Jesus is coming again. And Father, Lord, I pray this morning that we will see through your word what we're to be doing in the meantime. God, I pray you give us insight through your spirit, through your word, that God, when we leave this place this morning, as Paul taught to the church at Thessalonica years ago, that God, we today in the 21st century would be on the alert, that we would be sober, and God, ultimately, we would live our lives as if Jesus would be returning in the next few moments. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This morning, I want to talk to you for just a few moments about the church with the right stuff is ready for the return of Christ. The church with the right stuff is ready for the return of Jesus Christ. He's coming again. He is. Now, there's a lot of people today that debate that. They question that. They ask that. They say it's just not true. If he hasn't come back by now, he's not coming again. Well, the Word of God has something to say about that, and I want to take just a few moments today and share some things with you. Maybe some of you remember these, what I'm about to share with you. At approximately 2:46 p.m. on March the 11th, 2011, or last year, an 8.9 magnitude earthquake, which the epicenter was 231 miles northeast of Tokyo, triggered a tsunami that was moving at an estimated 497 miles per hour. Over 20,000 people lost their life that day in Japan. It took approximately 10 to 15 minutes for the tsunami to reach land. The people were hit with a massive, massive wave of water destruction everywhere. And never once did those people, I'm sure, wake up that morning and say to themselves, today, a tsunami is going to hit this island. You remember that, I'm quite sure, but many of you, I'm sure, remember even something more devastating. It's even more tragic than that. The devastation that hit Malaysia and Thailand in 2004. The tsunami there also. Earthquake off the shore, in the ocean. Earthquake hit. The tsunami there was moving approximately 500 miles per hour. That day, an estimated 250,000 people lost their life in a matter of minutes. The devastation was tremendous. People lost their life. And I would be willing to say that probably nobody thought when they got up that morning, today is my last day. Today is the day that devastation will just, or this tsunami will just devastate my home and the city in which I live in. In fact, you can go now and see on the internet, you can see photos or videos posted of people who are there, who are literally at that time of the year celebrating Christmas and having a joyful time. The kids are playing on the beach. And in fact, some people are actually standing on the beach with their cameras noticing, well, that's odd. Look at that huge wave. And they literally stand on the beach till it's too late. You know, we can learn a lot from those things. The devastation and stuff like that, I'm not talking about. But what I am talking about is this. When it comes to us living our Christian life and the second coming of Jesus Christ, how are you and I to live? What are we to do? How are we to, as a church, as an individual, as a family of believers, how and what are we to do? Well, Paul writes to the church right here at Thessalonica, and he shares some of those things with them, and this morning, you and I need to be well aware of those things today. There's several things that we must realize. First of all is this. Notice there in verse 2 what the Word of God says. It tells us this. It says, "For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night." The first thing that you and I have got to be aware of is this, simply as the Word says, that the second coming of Jesus Christ will be like a thief in the night. Now think about that for just a second. How many of you in here this morning have ever been the victim of a thief? Yeah. Let me ask you this, and you don't have to answer this out loud this morning. Did they call you and say, hey, by the way, I'll be there in 20 minutes to rob you? I'll be there and this is the way I'll be dressed and this is the car I'll be driving. In fact, when I pull up in the front yard, I'll blow the horn and say, hey, I'm here. How many of you had the thief come to your door and knock on the door and say, oh, by the way, I'm here to rob you? Of course you didn't. In fact, myself and my family here a couple of weeks ago, I cannot even get over this yet. Why? We had two, listen to this, we have rocking chairs on our front porch, and in those rocking chairs were red pillows with huge white polka dots. Would you believe that in, not at night, not in the wee hours of the morning, but in the middle of the afternoon, somebody stole those pillows? why? And you know what? Never once did whoever did this, whoever the perpetrator was, never once did they come up and say, hey, by the way, I'm about to rob you. I'm about to steal your pillows. I'm about to steal your pillows. You might want to stop me. Never once. The Bible says here, and that's the reference that Paul is making, that the coming of Jesus Christ will be just like a thief in the night. You don't know when it's going to happen. There's not going to be a forewarning to say, all right now, here in the next month, the next 2 months, the next 3 months, you need to be good boys and girls because I'm coming back. And you know, when I come back, you want to be doing the right thing for me, don't you? He's not going to do that. The Bible says he's coming back like a thief in the night. We won't know when it is. So we as a church, we need to first of all realize that. But notice this, secondly, we need to realize that his return will be unexpected. It'd just be unexpected. You say, wait a minute, that's the same thing. You just said that there. It'd be like a thief in the night. Well, notice with me, there's something here that this unexpectation, we need to make sure that we realize that there'll be some will say what verse 3 says, while they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them. Suddenly, like birth pains upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The Bible says clearly right here that when the world begins to say, oh, peace, safety, everything's fine, everything's great, it's at that moment. It's at that moment. As I said earlier, I'm not going to stand up here this morning and say I'm an expert in eschatology, the study of end time. I'm not going to stand up here and say this, but I would like to interject this, my own thought process, if I may. It would not surprise me, as pastor of this church, I would not be shocked. It would not surprise me that if before we say amen on this service, Jesus comes back. Wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me that Jesus returns. The Bible tells us clearly right here that peace and safety the world will be saying, but it is at that time that it will come. It will come just like the pains on a woman having labor pains with a child. I've never experienced that. Can't experience that. But you ladies in here this morning, you have experienced that. You knew they were coming. But you didn't know exactly when they were coming. So is it with Jesus. He is returning, and his return will be unexpected. Notice the third thing with me this morning, and that is this. We must put on the armor. Notice the Bible tells us this in verse 8. Look there with me. If you're there, say amen. Now, the Word of God tells us this, but since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. This is unique because if you remember, Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 really describes the armor of God from head to toe. And in this particular verse right here in 1 Thessalonians, he only uses two pieces of that armor. He only says two things right there. Notice again the two pieces that he uses. He says the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. The breastplate and the helmet. What is the significance of that? How does that fit into end time prophecies? What does it... I don't know. Other than to say this, and I believe with all my heart the message that Paul and the Word of God is trying to convey to us this morning is this. through using those items, it is saying to us, it is just like a sentry, a guard, if you will, who is manning a post. That person is always ready. That person is always at attention. That person is always there. That person is faithful, making sure that he or she is at their post and they are ready for whatever happens. A good friend of mine was in the Army. He was an MP in the Army. And he was stationed in Germany, Frankfurt, Germany, for quite some time. And when he come back, when he rotated back to the States, he was telling me about what his job was there. Now listen to this. His job was, his shift was from 11 at night till 7 in the morning. The graveyard shift. And his job was to stand at attention and watch a door. To make sure nobody came in that door. That's all he did. Man, that'd be boring, wouldn't it? Whew! You know, all of a sudden you just feel like, you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to drag me up a chair and I think I'm going to sit down in this corner right here. There ain't nobody watching. I'm going to take me a nap. There's a lot of people today, spiritually, who've done the same thing. I think I'm going to sit down and I'm just going to take it easy. I'm going to take, you know what? The Bible says Christ's going to return. Nah. Guys, the Bible is painting a clear picture to you and I as believers, as individual believers, and as a church as a whole. You and I, as the Bible says right here, that we must be sober, we must be alert, we must be like a sentry, a guard at their post. They are ever alert, they are ever aware of everything that's going on around them. You and I must be the same way, because the day is coming that Christ will return. He's coming. But notice this, the last thing I want you to see this morning. Notice in verse 11, Paul tells us these words. He tells the church at Thessalonica, and it echoes right here to Grandview this morning. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing. We talked about that this morning in our Sunday school class, Brother Ray was up here leading the music this morning. He's my Sunday school teacher. And we were talking about how in the church sometimes, you know, critical hearts and speech start coming out. And my brother here, he used an example. He pulled out a poster. It had little captions of sayings on it. And would you believe the first thing he read was this? I don't like the way the preacher's preaching. No, I forgot. He's got to come back up here after me, so I should have said that. But anyway. Or something along these lines. You know what? I just can't believe. That he'd wear something like that. Boy, I tell you what. My gracious alive. I can't believe the minister of music is leading that type of music. My gracious. True story here. Listen to this one, brother. This will bless your heart. I heard of a church member one time when the music minister stood up to begin the song service. There was an individual in the church, listen to this, true story, that would reach in their coat pocket and pull out a pair of earplugs and put them in. That'd bless your heart, wouldn't it? Put them earplugs in, y'all. Hey, you know what? And listen to me. You know, listen. Guys, hey, Paul tells the church at Thessalonica right there that you and I, that church, we need to encourage one another and that we need to build one another up. For goodness sakes, we don't need to be criticizing one another. We don't need to be putting one another down. I'm here to tell you, we're going to get enough of that outside this place. We're going to get enough of that when you go to the job tomorrow. You're going to get enough of that when you go to school tomorrow. You're going to get enough of that whenever you're just living in the world. Right here, you and I in this church today, we ought to be building one another up, encouraging one another in the ways of the Lord, because doggone it, we're not going to get it out there. Amen. Man. Been pastoring 17 years. Yeah. And man, I've heard some folks in churches say some things that cut other people deep. You know, you always heard the saying, forgive and forget. I believe you can forgive, but this is just my philosophy. You may have another take on it. I don't think you'll ever forget it. I really don't. And you know what? One of the worst places in the world, if not the worst place in the world to be hurt, is in the church. You know why? Because see, this is supposed to be the place of love. This is supposed to be where Jesus' love is amplified and radiated off the people, to everybody that comes in this place. It is. And you know what? Listen to me, guys. Listen to me. I want to just tell you this. As your pastor, I have heard more people say about Grandview Baptist Church, man, I tell you what, that is one of the most friendliest churches I've ever been to. Hey, may that never end. May that never end. You know what? Listen, because Satan is setting on ready today for us to begin bickering and arguing among ourselves, could care less about encouraging one another, could care less about building one another up. Oh no, he would be happy with you and I to begin to criticize one another and say, my gracious, I can't believe that person, I can't believe him, I can't believe her. He would love nothing more than for you and I to go home today, get on the phone, start calling everybody we know, and start telling how everything's going bad down at Grandview. He'd love it. May we never do that. May it always be said. May it always be said. Oh my gracious, that sure is a friendly church down there. And may we inside this place, first of all, may we always be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says it clearly, that He is coming like a thief in the night. It's not going to be announced. It's not going to be in this week's bulletin that He's coming back next week. It's not. It's not going to be on the nightly news the day He is going to return. He's coming like a thief in the night. It will be unexpected. But may you and I be like a guard on their post with a breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation on us, being ready and always alert for the return of Jesus Christ. And in the meantime, may you and I encourage one another. Because friends, today, listen to me. We need encouragement today. Father God, I thank You so much for this word. Thank You for what it says. And Lord God, I pray this morning for every person in this room here today. God, from the youngest to the oldest. Lord Jesus, first of all, that they know You as Lord and Savior. For you see, today, God, as we're praying right now, if there is one inside this room that has never accepted You as Savior, never began a relationship with You, that God, today, Jesus' second coming is really irrelevant. For today, for us to ever see heaven, we must have that relationship with Your Son, Jesus. He died so that we could be forgiven of our sins and cleansed of all unrighteousness. And God, today I pray for maybe one person in this room that today is their day to accept Him. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're that person, you've never began that relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You've never asked Him to forgive you of your sins. You never asked Him to come into your life and be Lord of your life. Then right now is your time. Wherever you're at in this room, I want to invite you right now. You don't have to wait till we start singing. You can get up right now. There's a minister standing down front. He would count it an honor to pray with you. So I want you to come. You're sitting in this room right here today and you say to yourself, you know what, preacher? I haven't been alert. I haven't been doing the things that I ought to do. I haven't been living my life the way that I ought to live my life. You say, be ready. Well, I can't be ready. Shoot, I can't live. I'm not living the way I ought to. Then you need to come as well. Not to me. Not to Brother Allen. But come to Jesus. He's the one that can forgive you. He's the one that can cleanse you. He's the one that can give you the strength and the hope that you need today. So wherever you're at, here in just a moment, Brother Ray's going to come and he's going to lead us in an invitation. And wherever you're at in this room, God's speaking to your heart. I invite you to come to Jesus this morning. Father, in this time, may we this morning see fruit, not for our glory today, God, but for yours. For it's in the precious and the holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen.